O most gracious Father, open our hearts to sincere worship and our lips to show forth your praise. Guide us through your Spirit to eliminate any sinful weakness that might interfere with our worship this morning, so that the faithful meditation of your people proclaims the excellencies of Jesus, who died that we might live, and whoevermore lives that we may never die. Amen. Welcome to our service today in the name of the Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior. And this is the seventh Sunday of the Easter season and the Sunday after the observance of Jesus' ascension to heaven. We pray that the Spirit of God be poured out upon us as we worship our Savior today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we've disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to His will. Amen. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God. We give you thanks and praise of heavenly joy and peace on earth. We sing, we worship you. To you our hearts we raise. Lord God, Almighty Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord. At God's right hand in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored. The heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that even as we believe your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to have ascended into heaven, so we may we also, in heart and mind, ascend and continually dwell there with Him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. First of our lessons this morning is drawn once again in our series of lessons from the book of Acts. We read there in the first chapter the story of Jesus' ascension as recorded there by Luke. In my former book, Theophilus, the Gospel of Luke, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Here ends the first lesson. Let's read responsively now the Easter acclamation as printed in your service bulletin. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
God ascends to his throne. The Lord is risen indeed. By this we know that we abide in God and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. See, I am coming soon, says the Lord.
I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end.
Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates.
Surely I am coming soon, says the Lord.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Our next lesson is drawn from the first letter of Peter in the first chapter, selected verses from, in his first letter, selected verses from chapters 4 and 5. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for consideration on this Sunday is written in the Gospel of John in the 17th chapter, selected verses. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer. They are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." So far the text. In the name of our risen, ascended Savior, Christ Jesus, dearly beloved of God, as we read about the life and ministry of Jesus in the Gospels, we learn about how he, on occasion, would leave behind the bustling crowds that followed him, who were eager to hear him speak and receive help for their health problems, such that he found it difficult even to take time out to have a bite to eat. He would often, or on occasion, would retire to a quiet spot for rest and for prayer. Now, in most instances, we're not told specifics about the things Jesus prayed about and what he prayed for, but there are a few instances where we're told about the content of Jesus' prayer petitions. His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, for example, where he poured out his soul to his Father, asking him to remove the cup of suffering from him if it were possible. And then there's that lengthy prayer, sometimes referred to as Jesus' high priestly prayer, recorded in chapter 17. It spans the whole chapter. It's quite lengthy, in which Christ Jesus poured out his soul audibly in the presence of his disciples the night before his crucifixion death. Now, since the Holy Spirit made a special point of including this prayer in Holy Scripture, it's clear that he wanted us to know about it. He wants us to consider it, to read it, to study it, and to draw good lessons and good comfort from it for our lives as his disciples today. So this morning, we want to consider part of this prayer. We want to listen in as we hear Jesus, God the Son, petition his heavenly Father first for his own glorification as mankind's Savior, and then for our protection, his believers, by the power of his heavenly Father's name. As we noted, the scene is the upper room on the night before Jesus' death. Spent the evening with his disciples, celebrating with them the feast of the Passover. He has instructed them in a lot of different truths. Some of those passages we know so well. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come back to receive you to myself. I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Many other words of counsel and instruction. He also instituted for them and for us today the sacrament of Holy Communion. And it was shortly before departing with his disciples, walking out to the garden, that Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven and started to pray the prayer that has come to be known, as I mentioned, as Jesus' high priestly prayer. He began by saying, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you've given him. I've brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world began." So we see how Jesus asks his Father in heaven to grant that the glory he possessed from eternity, which had been hidden away from human view during his earthly days, during which time he carried out his work as our humble Savior servant, that his hidden glory might be openly revealed. And how would Jesus' glory be revealed openly to everybody? Spectacularly. And very soon, within the space of a few hours, he'd be taken prisoner by his enemies, placed on trial for blasphemy and treason against Caesar, condemned, cruelly mocked, brutally killed. And it was in that way that Jesus' glory as mankind's Savior would be marvelously revealed. The eyes of those who did not understand who Jesus was, why he was born, why he had come into the world, his bloody, gruesome death on Mount Calvary, certainly did not look like anything that could possibly serve for his glorification, only for his shame and his dishonor, his complete and permanent defeat and undoing. To the eyes of his believers, Jesus' death would be recognized as the thing by which truly he put his great glory on display. In dying on the cross, he destroyed him who had the power of death, the devil. He paid the price to set sinners free from the power of sin. He accomplished what he foretold he was going to do. I think it was on Tuesday of Holy Week, the group of his followers at Jerusalem, he had said a few days earlier, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it produces much grain. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth on the cross, will draw all peoples to myself." So in this way, Jesus would spectacularly show what kind of a God we have, whose love cannot be measured for its greatness, who made it possible for us to be part of the innumerable company of those who would live to glorify our Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus for His unspeakable mercy. And not only would we live to glorify Jesus in our lives during our days of earthly pilgrimage, We would also be part of the innumerable host eventually, gathered before his throne in heaven, who would sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory." That is what Jesus was praying about and praying for that night in the upper room, that scores of people, thousands, tens of thousands, even millions might be part of the happy throng who will enjoy the gift of life everlasting in the courts of heaven through faith in his name. So what else did Jesus pray about and pray for there in the upper room in his high priestly prayer? He went on to say, "Father, I've revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you've given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect. Protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." So Jesus, the night before he died, as he prepared to go to the cross, he was keenly aware of how his disciple followers, his dear believers, his beloved sheep from his good shepherd flock would be in need of protection from the powerful forces of evil that we are up against, that would attack our faith and try to bring us down spiritually. The so-called unholy three, you know what they are? Dirty old devil, we heard about in one of our readings, who prowls around like a ravenous lion seeking souls to devour. The spiritual hosts of wickedness in the unseen spirit world that Paul warns about in his letter to the Christians at Ephesus. Then there's the diabolical, spiritually dead, thumbing their noses at God world that John writes about in his first letter. And he said, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it." Very powerful enemy, unbelieving world, unbelieving society that Christians are in the midst of during our days of pilgrimage. And the third enemy, our own sinful flesh that Paul wrote about in his Romans letter when he said, speaking regarding himself and his spiritual tug of war that he had to engage in on a daily basis, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what's good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice." And that spiritual tug of war Christians are always engaged in from the moment that we are baptized in Christians, that we know so well. It's because Jesus knew about these enemies we'd be up against. That's why he prayed, "Holy Father, protect them. By the power of your name, the name you gave me, sanctify." That word sanctify means set apart as holy and special to God. "Sanctify them by the truth." Your word is truth. That's our protection, our device, our shield, the word of God, by which the Lord sanctifies, keeps us separate from the world as God's special people. Lord, bless my disciples through your word with inner strength, Jesus was praying, to hold fast the confession of their hope without wavering. Do not allow the deceitfulness of the world's pleasures to be too much for them to stand up against. Do not let the stormy blasts of tribulation that enter their lives be too strong for them to weather, but give them the ability to bear up under them patiently for my sake. Do this for them, Father. Once again, how? By the power of your name, which is basically saying by the power of his holy word. That's God's name by which he protects us as we hear and learn and study it. Last Thursday, as mentioned, was Ascension Day. The day Jesus removed his visible presence from earth 40 days after his resurrection when he reassumed the position of glory that was his before the world was. Be reminded, friends, that one of the activities that Jesus is still carrying on for you in love as your ascended Lord and great high priest is that he's continually speaking in your behalf in the presence of his Father, imploring his Father to forgive your sins, to bless you in your faith lives, and to preserve you in faith for as long as you live. How important this work of Jesus is, we also can see when we think about some of the events that transpired later that night after Jesus with his disciples left the upper room. Recall how Peter had confidently affirmed, "I will not deny you. I'm strong enough to ward off temptation, even if everybody else falls away. I will not." You know how Peter, trusting in his own strength, ended up being caught in the snare of the devil before the morning sun even came up the next day. And were it not for Jesus' intercessory prayer for Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail," he would have perished in unrepented sin. But it did not happen because of Jesus' loving prayer in his behalf. So also for you and me. Christ, our risen, ascended Lord, who is seated at God's right hand, ever lives to make intercession for us. He prays for us continually that Satan may not sift us as wheat. Father, do not let my dear believers forget their baptismal covenant and their vows of confirmation. Let not the cares of the world or the deceitfulness of riches or the blasts of tribulation and persecution they suffer because they are Christians be too much for them to handle, but with the temptation make a way of escape so that they may be able to bear it. Because of Jesus praying for us in that way, and we have the comfort of knowing nothing can pluck us from his hand. He's going to use the power of his word, the power of the Lord's name that we hear and learn, study, memorize, meditate on to help us to keep on drowning our old Adam by daily contrition and repentance, to put on the new man created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Grant us power to take up our Christian cross daily and follow him, to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things, and to live as people who recognize we're in the world, but we're not part of the world. Heaven is our home, to which we too will one day ascend. So friends, as you go through your daily activities, whatever they may be, as you go through your day, thank Jesus for the work that he is doing for you behind the scenes. Thank him that he foresaw all these temptations that you would be exposed to and praise him that just as he poured out his soul in your behalf on the night before he died, even so he continues to speak to the Father in your behalf so that you might retain your status, noble status as God's beloved child, your distinctiveness from the unbelieving world, living each day for his praise and glorify him in your life, that you might be kept in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free.
Please rise for prayer. There are two special petitions that we desire to offer this morning on behalf of our fellow Christians. A prayer that the Lord would guide and bless the surgery that Bobby will be undergoing tomorrow for knee replacement. And also a prayer that the Lord would continue to guide and direct Zach Ruge in his life. He just last Thursday graduated from high school in Castle Rock. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you are the great physician of body and soul. Therefore, we place our beloved Christian sister, Bobby, into your tender care, trusting both your power and grace to save. Give necessary skill to the surgeon and bless his work. In her anxious moments, give to Bobby calm assurance through the word of the Lord, which says, "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." May this comfort also be shared by the members of her family who pray for favorable results from the surgery. In all trials that she must yet endure, may she remember your redeeming love and the sacrifice on the cross for sinners and take refuge there. Hear us, O Jesus. Amen. Dear Savior, you have been the teacher and friend of Zachary Ruge from his earliest days of childhood. In each year of his schooling, we thank you for blessing him with the mental abilities and physical health needed to arrive at this milestone of his high school graduation. We ask for your continued blessings on his future. We pray that in the path of life you've planned for him, that you would continue to lead him in your ways and enable him to increase in his understanding of your gracious will. Bless his growth in the grace and knowledge of you, his Savior, and enlarge his opportunities for serving you in your kingdom. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, who has risen from the dead and ascended to the right hand of God, we praise you for opening the kingdom of heaven to us undeserving sinners and for calling us into that kingdom by giving us faith to trust you as our Lord and Savior. What joy is ours as members of your kingdom. Ruled by your mercy and no longer filled with fear, we are confident of our salvation. No longer ruled by Satan and sin, we are empowered by your love to do the good works to which we have been created and now are called. We pray that having made us members of your kingdom of grace on earth, you would keep us in true faith till the end, and that we might be partakers with you of the kingdom of glory in heaven. Give us a hunger for your word, and nourish us by it. Cause us to daily remember our baptism, which has washed away our sins. Make us frequent guests at the holy supper of your body and blood, received in communion with bread and wine, that we might show forth your death till you come, and trust in it for the forgiveness of sins. Help us to seek first the kingdom of heaven and your righteousness, and to put your word, our faith, forgiveness of sins, and the hope of salvation first in our lives. Dearest Jesus, we also pray that you will have your kingdom come to many others by multiplying the preaching of the gospel in the world. Cause sinners everywhere to accept you and your forgiveness by faith. Help us overcome our sinful flesh, and thus make us able ambassadors of your kingdom. Encourage us to support the cause of Christian missions generously with our gifts and prayers, to remember our pastors and missionaries daily in our prayers. Bless your kingdom workers wherever they labor, and grant them the joy of seeing fruits from their labors. Give the word they preach free course, that your elect may be drawn from the far corners of the world. Ascended Savior, hear our prayers. Bestow on us the help and relief we require. Comfort us with forgiveness and crown our lives with good. Aid us against every temptation and strengthen us in every trial until we receive the victor's wreath of everlasting life. Help our pastors to preach, our teachers to teach, and our people, old and young, to receive the word with joy. Hear us for the honor of your name. We also join to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.